Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, sounds like I'm in traffic, doesn't it? Well, I'm not. Okay, there we go. There we go. Hopefully it stops. That was the noise of traffic. Traffic is one of those things that many of us can't avoid. Some of us try to move out into more serene settings so we can get away from it. But we can't always do that. And tonight, we're going to talk about problems with traffic and how to hopefully relieve them. We're talking about the I-75 Relief Task Force here in Florida, where we're looking at the roads that go through the northern part of the state, some areas where we need to make some changes and hopefully make them better, and hopefully stop some of the things that we aren't so fond of and think maybe there could be better alternatives. So the topic, we're calling it Go Purple or Green. How about neither? I'm not going to tell you what purple or green means yet, but I will in just a minute. And my guest in just a minute who will be coming on with me is Hawthorne Mayor Matt Cerenzi. I understand he's been in Washington today. I don't know if he's still there or he's gotten back to Florida, but he's probably tired, so we'll try to move things along as quick as we can so he can get some rest. But I just quickly want to say that this process has been going on since last December, studying the roads. There's a task force appointed by the Secretary of Transportation. Mayor Cerenzi is one of them. He's a member of it. And I'm a citizen who's been very active in watching, listening, and speaking up. And there are a lot of us that have been involved. This past Sunday, out here in the neck of the woods where I live, we had a very nice community picnic. And the road system was one of the topics. We had about 200 people came. I was honored to be asked to speak about the roads. We had some other speakers as well. But it's a topic that, you know, you get a lot of flack on no matter which side you're on sometimes. But I just want to remind you, take a look at the pictures. You see a jammed freeway. That's typical anywhere in a metropolitan area. You can be in any city in America at rush hour, and that's what you see, no matter what the freeways are designed to do. There's a picture of the Hawthorne City Hall, small city hall for a small city, and below it is Matt Cerenzi, the mayor. There's his smiling face. He's a young man, ambitious man, decent man. And while he and I don't agree on everything, we agree on a lot of things. And I appreciate his willingness to come on and talk with us. And then there's a picture of the Florida swamps, which are suffering these days, as we sometimes develop in places where I think we shouldn't. There's a picture of a hand pump well, because all of our water is well water, whether you get it through a city or you get it at your house. It's probably not hand pumped. It's probably got an electric pump on it, but the point is all of our water is coming out of the Florida aquifer, which is suffering now. Then there's a picture of a flooded subdivision. That's one in South Florida, and it's what happens when developers come in and promise they can do things without damage, and sometimes they don't work out so well. I've been in four different states facing development problems. I've been a civic association president in a large neighborhood. Here I've been an activist for rural folks, but I'm also a believer in development. It's just a question of where you put it and how much. And we've got that problem in Florida because we have some people want none and we have others that want it everywhere, and there's got to be a balance, and that's what I'm hopefully working to achieve. Then there's a picture of a map which shows what I will call swaths. They're colored swaths on the map. One of them is green at the top, one of them is purple, and one is blue. The blue one's gone. They've already taken it off the map. Right now, up here off I-75 in North Florida, we're looking at those two swaths, which are areas where the governor would like to have, at least in one and maybe in both, a toll road, you know, a road that you pay for as you go, as you drive it, but one of which also limited access like an interstate, because he's hell-bent on taking a road from Tampa to Jacksonville one way or the other. I think we've made the case before that it's really not necessary, and I think the good mayor, who will be on in just a minute, agrees with me on a lot of that. But it's a fight, because you've got the bureaucrats, and you've got, and they're just doing their job, folks. The guys that work for the state are just doing their bidding, and when the governor wants something, he wants it. That's just the way politics goes, and they're at the pretty much at the mercy of the politicians. They try to give their advice on what's best, but sometimes it's not listened to. And then, of course, there are the citizens who sometimes feel like they're not listened to, because, frankly, the citizens feel like those who put money in the coffers of the politicians are the ones who win the battles. And, of course, developers do that all over the country. And there are good developers and there are bad developers. There always are a mix of everything. And lastly is a picture of the cross, the Bible, and the flag, which indicates that America, was founded under God. And I always remind people, particularly on this subject, that since we humans were given dominion over the earth, came with some real tough requirements. And that's that we take good care of the earth that we inhabit, because we're only here for a while. So with that being said, I'm going to, with no further ado, I'm going to bring on Mayor Matt Cerenci. Let me bring him on, and then we'll welcome him. Good evening, Matt. How are you tonight?
Good evening, James. Doing well. Appreciate you having me on.
Oh, I always love having you on. It's always a good discussion. Tell me, are you back home, or are you still in Washington?
No, still in Washington. I actually have a 6 a.m. flight, and I'll be headed back in the morning, and then going down to Volusia County to talk about nothing else but water.
Okay, well, water's a big deal. You know, Florida.
Yes, sir.
Florida's we're completely dependent upon the aquifer, and if we have problems with the aquifer, it creates problems for everybody. So that's a big deal. But Washington, kind of interesting. I don't know if you know this. I spent a lot of time in Washington. I finished up my college in Washington, so I'm pretty familiar with it. I went to American University, which is up on the northwest on Massachusetts Avenue, and I did a little bit of part-time work down there on Capitol Hill for a while in my last couple of years in school. Not a big deal, but had a little bit of fun. I learned a lot, and I watched how the system works or sometimes doesn't work. But it's a very interesting environment. It's very crowded. I'm sure you, when we talk about traffic, you saw plenty of it if you were in Washington, because the place is growing by leaps and bounds, and there's no end to it. It seems to be booming, because one place that's always booming is, a nation's capital, if any place is, and Washington is certainly doing that. But I hope your visit was a productive one. I know you were up there with the League of Cities, and I guess you got to meet some of the political types, and hope it was a good day for you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It was very productive. Got to meet with a lot of our representatives around the state and our senators yesterday, and working on a lot of stuff, ranging from Zika virus to FEMA deobligation and a few other issues that are important to our folks back home.
Okay, well, good. Well, listen, I'm going to try to make this as short as I can for you, because I know you're probably tired and you're going to have to get up early in the morning. But what I wanted to start with, and this is where we're going to spend most of our time, you penned a little piece on Facebook in the last couple of weeks. As I told the audience, you're on the task force. And you and I have been talking a lot about the area where we are, because I'm not right in the city of Hawthorne, but I'm close by in the unincorporated county next door. And, we're concerned about superhighways, toll roads, express roads, whatever you want to call them, it doesn't matter, and what they do to our area, because I think all of us want to keep some of old Florida alive, since, in South Florida, it's mostly disappeared, and we certainly want to try to keep some of that in North Florida, and it's a battle all the time. But let me ask you this, Matt. You penned a nice piece in Facebook, and you talked about kind of where you are on this issue with the road developments, and let me just preface that by telling the audience, if they're new or haven't been paying attention, what we've been looking at is I-75, which is, of course, a major interstate that runs down the spine of Florida, and Hawthorne basically sits just off to the east of that spine. The interstate is over on the west side of Gainesville. And then we were looking at the existing road structure that's there. We've got a number of four-lane divided highways that are quite capable of doing some things, particularly US 301, which has been around for a long time, but it is able to handle a lot of traffic. And both of those roads kind of go between our area and Jacksonville on the north and south down towards Tampa. But you've been to piece on what you would kind of like to see, and I would kind of like you to explain it to our audience, because a lot of people probably haven't either read or they don't use Facebook. Would you mind doing that?
Sure, not a problem at all. And invite anybody to go on there and look at it. I'm pretty much an open book and post most of my stuff on Facebook so people know where my position is on different issues. And I wish, judging by reading the piece that was in the Gainesville Sun, the editorial there, I wish you would have probably read it as well, and so he would have had a little more information and base some of his opinions on. But anyways, I posted it on there basically just to try and let people know, you know, give people a background of where we've been, where we're at, what we're identifying, and what's on the table here. And you know, as you mentioned earlier, the two swaths that are there, originally it was three. One's been eliminated. And then we have the two other ones, which are the northern one and what we called originally the central one. And I just kind of described first, you know, what is the original strategy is to maximize the use of the current existing network, current roads that we have, you know, make all the improvements we can to maximize their use, make them as efficient as possible, including, you know, truck-only lanes on I-75 and other issues that were addressed, you know, wanting to see done in the Gainesville Sun article, but weren't noted as that's what we were actually addressing doing first in a timeline fashion. So that being the first thing, and what I did put on there was, you know, I obviously have suggested and argued for getting rid of the purple swath, which is a central swath, because that's basically feeding everybody into the area which is the highest concentrated area, the most traffic accidents, which is between Gainesville and basically the villages. And I've explained to people on there that, you know, the problem is that there are local residents using this segment of the interstate for local transportation to and from Gainesville, to and from Ocala, and that's getting with the interstate crowd that's trying basically just to get through. And so when you have that bottlenecking there, and what we're trying to relieve is the traffic, if this is truly what we're supposed to be doing, is getting traffic off of 75 that can basically bypass this area and go to Tampa, then it would make the most sense is if you do it before it gets to that congested area, because once they're in that congested area, it's just another part of the problem. Not only that, but when you start feeding them back north, it, you know, adds to the problem because there's more potential risk there having them. And so that's why my suggestion was to widen the green swath from the original swath, which your picture on the website shows the original swath that they proposed. Now on the I-75relief.com website, it shows the green swath further west as well, including 41. And the reason I did that proposal was because I think bringing up the Suncoast Expressway to where it comes into 41 before it gets into some of the sensitive areas around Dunellen, bring it into there and then maximize 41 as far as, you know, in the rural stretch, you can four-lane it. Within the city limits, you can do certain things there that are already set, some are already four-laned in some of those areas, or you can do like what's in Stark, and you can put a bypass around those cities that don't want it four-lane through their downtown. So you can look at it in several different ways, but and we stated this in the meeting, in the task force meeting, was make sure that you had input from those local cities as far as how they want to deal with that issue when it does come and is needed there. So that was part of it. The other part of it was I had mentioned that if they want anything, the reason why I disagreed with the purple swath is because if you look at it, and a future task force comes and looks at it. I try and cover myself for what future generations will think our intent is. And so if you show this swath, this road, coming into 75 right there, and the, you know, the whole idea is connect Tampa to Jacksonville, then they're going to think that we're planning, we were intending to have that road to continue on up through, you know, the eastern side of Lodger County, the western side of Putnam County, northern side of Marion County, and on up to Clay County. And that is by far not what any of my intent is. What I would like to see done is take that purple swath completely off. And if anything, do like what is down off the turnpike in Palm Beach County, where they have a long ramp that gets people off the turnpike onto the local highway. I believe it's Southern Boulevard there. It's one of those that have the long exit. And basically getting traffic around State Road 326 directly onto 301 without any of those gas stations or anything else there that cause, you know, congestion that's on State Road 326. So direct access to 441, 301, improve 301, being able to go up through Hawthorne, and improvements that y'all suggested as well, making it easier to connect to I-10 or even to the southern part of Jacksonville through State Road 16, State Road 100 as well, and then also improving 75, making it more manageable with the three truck lanes and using that as a basis for getting started.
Well, I, you know, and I agree with you on that swath. I mean, I've looked at some of the stuff, and I don't know if you got it or not. I sent you some information this morning because there's a little bit of a piece that the FDOT put out for the upcoming open houses that kind of alarmed me just a little bit. I hope you got that. It was talking about the intention of where they're going forward, and it kind of matches up with what you say. I'll talk about that in just a second. But I just want to tell you that I was at a picnic this weekend, and we had over 200 people who were really upset in Alachua County, and they're from both sides of the county, and rightly so. And there were a lot of good people there from the west side, and, you know, they just feel like, you know, we need to try to take the roads that we have and work with them. And I think that's really what you're driving at more than anything. I think on the west side, maybe there's some places where they can improve some of the roads, but my concern is that, you know, we all know that land is going to be developed. But the question is, do we develop it logically, sensibly, with everybody having input and trying to take into consideration everybody's concerns, or do we force feed it? And what really concerns me is, and I talked about this at the picnic on Sunday, we had over 200 people. It was really a nice gathering. And, you know, I found in the 2013 document, you know, which was kind of the precursor to this task force, where they talked about rapid acceleration of development. And, you know, that just is, to me, like a buzzword that's just sitting out there like, oh, so really what y'all want to do is develop. That's more important than making the roads work as we naturally do what's going to happen. And, I've got a real problem with that, and a lot of citizens do, even some of the government people do. We just need to be careful because North Florida is very, very precious, and it's becoming very, very rare when you look at it compared to the rest of Florida and what's happened. I know you and I talked a week or so ago about going to or from that last task force meeting down in Spring Hill, and incidentally, folks, Spring Hill is not incorporated. It's an unincorporated area that kind of looks like the sprawl in Jacksonville. It's, you know, block after block of box stores, fast food restaurants, regular restaurants, banks, you name it, gas stations, and it just goes on and on and on. And that's the fear that people have because they don't want to see that coming out from Jacksonville swinging all the way to match up on the other end when you get towards Tampa. And I know you share that view. You know, you like the small-town atmosphere. I mean, you can grow it and have some prosperity, but, wow, you don't want to just completely alter the alter the situation. So I don't know if you saw that thing, but they basically were talking about taking what they've done and using it as kind of the base point for going forward. And what I read into that was, you know, keep that swath in there, or keep both swaths in there, and then you've got your baseline for voila, extended on over. Because they mentioned in that 2013 document, you know, it was the, I can't remember the name of it, but it was the pre-task force assessment. It's in the I-75.
The Central Florida Task Force?
No, not the Central Florida Task Force, the one in North Florida. It was the 2013 document that talks about kind of getting ready for, you know, what needs to be done. And it talks about rapid development, I mean accelerated development, and a game changer in North Florida. When you use terms like game changer, you need to explain what you mean. I mean, if you mean trying to be ready for reasonable growth, but if you mean just so you can open the door and do the same thing that we did in South Florida, well, that's not what I don't think anybody really wants that, except some unscrupulous developers who unfortunately always show up along with the good ones. Because, you know, you go down those roads and you just see it, just it's box stores and strip centers, and it just, Florida doesn't look any different from any other place. And, you know, Florida's pretty precious. I mean, we've got some beautiful land, and we've got a unique situation here, and we just don't want to destroy it. That's really what I'm getting at there. But,
right. And coming from the FCP SIS committee as well, and from comments that I've done on the I-75 Relief Task Force meeting, was stressing the importance of having land development regulations that go hand in hand with any kind of new road or expanding road. Because the worst thing that we could do, you know, as I explained earlier, the green swath was basically just the new part being the southern part and the improvement part being the northern part, and that's why I wanted 41 included in it, coming up through High Springs and around High Springs, because that's a real sensitive area. But what I was trying to make sure of also is that the land development regulations go with it, because the worst thing that can happen is we make those improvements and then people start building all around that area, then the trucks aren't going to use that because it's not a true truck route, as far as they're going to have to make stops one after another at traffic lights. Then they're not going to want to use that corridor, because that's the most time-consuming thing as far as making your deliveries. Also, it's the most damaging thing to your vehicle as far as having to make those constant shifts on your truck. So that was the main thing also, was to make sure that if we do make this a truck corridor, as far as coming through that area of 41, that it stays a true truck corridor. It doesn't, you don't start putting traffic light every mile or every 2 miles, that they have the ability to be able to go around these downtowns for the ones that don't want it in their downtown, or they're able to continue on through the downtown areas and connect eventually to the Suncoast Parkway to get them on down to Tampa.
I don't think the toll road thing is really going to work very well. I mean, it's pretty hard to, right now, selling a toll road is a problem because they're not working. I mean, if you look around the country, we've got the last 5 years, most of the toll roads that have been initiated are failing miserably. The big toll road in Austin, Texas completely went bankrupt. There are two big ones in Orange County, California, that are $1.6 billion in the hole. The Indiana toll road went bankrupt. The Pocahontas Parkway in Virginia went bankrupt. I mean, you can just go right down the line. And even now there are problems where there was a Supreme Court case on a toll road that transponders weren't working and people were getting huge bills. One lady got a bill for $40,000 for tolls. And, of course, she challenged it, and they said, sorry, it's your transponder. She took them to court. It ended up going to the Supreme Court, and they killed it. And so now the governor of Virginia, or the state legislature, is in the process of banning all toll roads outside of the D.C. metro area, which, of course, they've already got them, and they're going to do what they're going to do up there anyway because of the federal influence. So I just think that, you know, 301 makes a lot of sense because it's basically a good road, and there are areas where you got to work kind of gingerly with it, but there are other areas where you can improve it a little bit, but it's still open to the public. And I think, you know, the truck volume, you and I have talked about this, it's not all that busy. I mean, they say it is, but it really isn't if you look at the numbers. what happens is there's certain, you know, the problem with all these numbers that they throw at you is different times of the day, or like if you come through Gainesville when the Gators are letting out from a football game, yeah, it's going to be a parking lot out there. Mm-hmm. Or accidents, which that's another issue that needs to be addressed, how to control some of those accidents, because you know as well as I do that when you go down 75, they drive like maniacs. The
yeah.
truckers switch
and
lanes.
It's seasonal
drivers
and event-related, just like you're talking about. Right. Right, and I believe, especially with the toll road, you know, idea as far as just bringing it up that short distance, and it's not going to be that much of a cost for them. If anything, it'll help that toll road make, you know, cut down the margin a little bit more than what they're at, because right now you just can't justify getting over to the toll road unless you're coming from 19 on the West Coast. But we don't want to do anything that's going to promote any more development out there in the Big Bend area. So that's really the last natural coastline that we really have in Florida. So we obviously don't want that. What we do, what I could see as being beneficial is that toll road coming up 241, and obviously not being a toll road any further north on 41, because that would be still an open highway just like 301. But anything that's, you know, not, even if it doesn't support itself there, the cost of any traffic on there would just subsidize the building of the road, and the true benefit to the state as well as to those people that use 75 is getting those trucks that are going through to use that area and continue on down to Tampa. But in my opinion, that's more of a long-term thing. And the short-term thing is to redesign 75, and I think that's where we're going to get our maximum bang for our buck, is by reconfiguring that, adding the truck-only lanes, or even just the pay-only lanes, you know, in the center, as far as, you know, if residential or pedestrian, passenger vehicles want to use that some of those express lanes, then have that area as well that they could use, and I think that would be great as well.
Yeah, and we just kind of need to look at the natural development of the area. I mean, let me tell you what's got people really concerned, Matt. You know, they talk about, and you know, the task force is really not identified. They've said, well, you know, we want the safety better, we want to move the traffic better, and of course we've looked at the numbers, and they're not bad right now. I mean, the numbers, they can be bad at certain times, and that's the problem, because when you look at the numbers, they're based upon a average day, you know, spread out over 365 days, because they do this report once a year. But when you look at that, the numbers aren't very bad. I mean, you know, we've talked about it. Coming down, by the time you get to the south side of Gainesville on 75, it's running about 58 to 60,000 cars, or vehicles rather, total. And then in Ocala, it jumps up to about 80 as it gets, you know, down to 40 and then on down to 200. And then it kind of starts coming back down before it gets down towards Tampa again. But if you go over to Orlando, where they've put in all kinds of roads and some toll roads and everything else, I mean, even today, I-4 going through Orlando is 200,000 cars a day almost. So, you know, you look at 58,000, you look at 200,000, say, well, what's going on here? And here's the problem, and this is what concerns me, you know, the old if you build it, they will come deal. You know, the governor's been out recruiting all over the country. Oh, come on to Florida. We'll bring everybody in. Well, we're starting to stress a little bit. And like you go down to Orlando and Miami, and, you know, the driving becomes a quagmire no matter what you do. It's kind of like, you know, Blanding Boulevard up in Orange Park. It doesn't matter when you go down that street. It's a problem because there's no more room for the road. So you put these other roads that parallel it or go into it or cross it or whatever, but even in the end, as they put the roads through, the development naturally follows in those same areas. So you end up with more traffic generated because you're getting more people in than the roads can ever handle. And that's what concerns me. I mean, we got some growth you could do in Florida, certainly, but we've just got to be careful where we do it up here in this part of the state, because I think we've got a great example to look at on what not to do, and it's South Florida. You know, no offense to people in South Florida, but, you know, you go down there, I mean, if you like, you know, New York South in terms of traffic, that's what you got. And just like you up there in Washington, you know, I worked at the Pentagon. I used to go there to work, and I had to leave at 5 o'clock in the morning to get to work, because not because of the traffic to get there, to get there early enough where you could still get into the parking lots. So at some point, there is a limit to what we can do. And that's all I'm asking people to look at, because I hear the term economic development, I hear the term growth, I hear all those things, but nobody really wants to define what they mean. And they need to be such that, yes, you can improve things and make them better without, in the end, making them worse. Does that make any sense?
Right, I understand.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this, and I'll let you go on this. Did you see that statement that I sent you today by any chance?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, because let me just read that. What it was, they've got a two-page document. And by the way, folks, on the 7th of June, which is coming up real quick, over at the Best Western Hotel over just west of 75 on 39th Avenue. So it's on the western side of town, just across the interstate on the north. The Grand Reserve, I think it's called the Grand Reserve. It's a grand something or other, Best Western. They're having an open house that the FDOT is putting on, and they're going to have their people there with charts and stuff, and, you know, you can ask questions or comment. And they're also asking for comments because, and Matt remembers this, because Matt was trying to pull that one swath off the board at the last meeting, and basically they said, well, let's see what the public thinks. So the public gets a chance to think on the 7th, and then, of course, on the 8th down in Marion County in Ocala, and on the 9th over in Lecanto, and they're asking for comments. And, of course, if you can't go but you want to submit comments, you can do that on the site, or if you have, you know, some of us have the forms, fill them out. And, you know, but go over there is important, and learn and turn in your comments, and let's see what the public really thinks, because it's very important for the task force to hear that. And then on the 24th, which will be following on from that meeting, the task force will meet again. And let me ask you, Matt, is I think that the 24th is obviously when the task force is kind of going to reach its general position on where things are going, because isn't there only one more meeting, and that should be when the state comes back with all of their, you know, write-up of what you guys have said and talked about for y'all to review and either approve or modify. Is that right, or am
right,
I off
exactly.
base?
No. That's what I'm getting as well, too, is really our next meeting is going to be reviewing what has been collected at these public workshops and open houses, and then crossing that with some of the other data that we have, and then finalizing some of our basically directions to staff for them to come back with a final document that we can approve at the last meeting and make, you know, if we have to, we can make minor modifications at the last meeting, but really it would be just approving at the last August meeting.
And that's when the recommendations go to the Secretary of Transportation and in turn to Governor Scott.
Right.
Which, of course, he's ultimately the one who makes the decision. He can do anything he wants, folks, whether the task force wants it done or not. But I think it's very important for the public to get your input in if you're concerned about it, as many, many people are. You need to voice those concerns, because if you stay silent, well, you really don't have any basis for complaining. That's kind of where things are. But you know, Matt, I appreciate what you're doing. I appreciate you coming on with me. And it's just important that people understand what's going on. And, you know, if you like your quality of life, then you've got to get involved and fight for it. And I just think we need to be very, very careful with what we do and what's left of Florida that hasn't been developed, because this is a very, very fragile state. It's different than most because of the nature of our water and the way those aquifers work. I mean, we've got an unbelievable water supply, but, you know, when you just start pumping it right and left for everything, and, of course, I'm sure you've heard about the phosphate mine situation that's starting up in Bradford County, or not starting, but they're trying to do that. There's a lot of concern about that and its impact on water, and people just have a lot of questions because they're worried about their water. right. and their life. And that's quite nice. And I know that folks in Hawthorne don't want Hawthorne to turn into, you know, just a subset of Jacksonville. And that's some
right.
of the fear. And then the other thing I just wanted to mention to you that's really important about this purple swath is, you know, of the six counties that are involved in this task force, there's one county that's not involved at all, Putnam, and they could be right in the middle of the gun.
right,
mean,
right.
If they
yeah,
were to bring that
yeah,
thing through to go to Jacksonville, it's going to go right through them. Yeah. Kind of like that old 1988.
And the good part was, you know, what was it, a couple meetings back that, you know, they had talked about trying to expand the study area into more of Marion County and the Ocala National Forest and basically widening that area. And it was good to see that the task force did basically not take that up. We didn't vote it down, but we didn't take it up basically because there wasn't much interest in widening that to that area for, you know, obvious reasons that we stated at that meeting. So I think it's very important for your listeners as well as their friends, family, anybody else to come to one of these three open houses, make sure they're on the record
yes.
as far as writing their comments down and those get turned in. Don't just go there to vocalize your opinion. You have to write it down and make sure it gets written down. And that way,
correct.
You know, everything's in writing for us as a task force to see. I'm obviously stated my opinion several times as far as definitely get rid of that purple part, and I think that would probably happen, especially with a big outpouring from the public. The green part, you know, I'm still fine with bringing it up to that 41 and making the improvements as a long-term solution, but as the immediate part, making those improvements on the existing infrastructure like we spoke about. So it'll be
yeah,
interesting.
I don't think
you know, I just.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say that it's going to be interesting to see what everybody gets back to us. And, you know, that's the main thing is as anything that we do is just trying to get public participation so that there's, you know, basically people showing exactly what we want in our area.
Well, and if you live in Marion County or you live in Alachua County, the next, which is what we think is going to be the critical task force meeting, it's pretty close by. It's over in Williston. It's over at that big RV park there. I guess they have a big recreation building or something. I don't know what, but that's where the meeting will be. And I encourage, you know, citizens, if you can take a day off, go over there and attend. I've been to every one of them. I know that some of the guys probably wish I'd stop coming, but, you know, I try to be fair and decent about everything that I do, but I'm also very passionate. And Matt, I appreciate what you're doing, and I appreciate your, you know, being open to listening to people because you certainly do. And I know you're concerned about Hawthorne, and I think you're concerned with your whole area because, you know, where you are in Hawthorne, you know, that western Putnam, as well as eastern Alachua, is all your neighborhood. And,
exactly.
You know, you don't want to create the Hatfields and the McCoys in the neighborhood. You know, that's not what anybody wants to do, so it's very important. But anyway, listen, I'll give you the last word if you have it. I'm not going to hold you on because I know you're tired. You probably want to get some sleep before you got to get over to the airport. I hope you're staying near the airport where you can get there quick. That Washington's a mess sometimes, but
yeah, especially
anyway,
what you're going through with the Metro Rail and all that. But you know, I certainly appreciate you having me on, and always look forward to being on, and always happy to talk to anybody about it. And they can contact me, whether it's through my online city email or you know, on Facebook or Twitter or anywhere else, and they can catch up on any of the other items that we're working on as well if they have questions or comments. Always happy to talk with people, even. You know, as you know, even if we differ on subjects, we can always have good discussions. I certainly appreciate your support and always being involved, especially in this issue as well.
Well, God bless you, brother. And you know what? If we agreed on everything, it wouldn't be very much fun, would it?
It'd be a boring world.
It'd be very boring, actually. But no, you're a good man, and, you know, I appreciate what you're doing. And, yeah, we have our differences, but we have a lot more that we share than we defer on, and I think that's healthy. So, you know, the society needs you need to speak up your mind and just be civil about it and decent about it. And, you know, that's the way it should be. That's what makes things work. and that's what we're trying to do. But anyway, Matt, thank you very much. Get some rest, man, because that's a hectic day anytime you're in Washington. And I hope you have a safe flight back, and God bless you, brother. We'll talk again soon, and I'll certainly see you. I don't know if you're going to be over there at the open house, but I know I'll see you on the 24th of June over there in Williston. I'll be there, and we'll just see how it goes, and keep our fingers crossed that everything turns out well for everybody. That's really what we're trying to do, the best for everybody that we can. Thanks again very much, and you have a great evening, my friend.
Yes, sir, you too. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, folks, that was pretty short and sweet, but Matt kind of told it what he feels, and I agree with him on 85% of what he said there. I really don't want to see any swath going north on the west either, but I know that if they need some road improvements over there, they can use an existing road to do that, and I think he really is saying where the Suncoast is going up down at the south end, but from there up, it should just be a regular roadway. And that's kind of like a 301 kind of thing. If the market bears that, if that's what it is, I don't even know if it will, but we'll see. Anyway, folks, I want to thank you for listening tonight. I want to remind you that all of my shows stay up and running 24/7 after they've been done. So this show will be up again in about 15 minutes. It'll be ready to go again for anybody that wants to watch it. And tomorrow morning I've got a different subject, but I've got a friend, a guest who is with me a lot, and he reads a lot, and he's up on things. We're going to talk about an organization called ALEC. That's the American Legislative Exchange Council. And most people see it as a conservative organization, and it generally is now, because it serves state legislatures. It basically does some of their work for them, but I'm not going to give all the beans away tonight. But the reason it's leaning conservative, I think, is because conservatives have the control of the majority, significant majority of the state legislatures. But it's just one of many different special interest type of groups that put so much pressure on our elected officials. And I think, and this isn't the state level, this isn't the federal level. Last week we talked about the book coming out from Confessions of Congressman X, which came out, it was actually on Amazon available as of yesterday. I've ordered it, but I'll get it in the next few days, I guess. But that's the federal level. Here at the state level, we have the same thing. If you've ever gone before a state legislature to talk about an issue and you find out how rude they can really be because they don't really want to listen to you because they've already made up their mind. And a lot of the legwork done for them now is done by groups like ALEC, and that's one of the biggest ones. They come in sometimes with pre-established legislation. You can fill in the blanks. But that's all I'm going to say about that tonight. That's my show for tomorrow. And then this weekend, I will have my normal weekend devotional. I call the segment Sunday Morning Coming Down. And we will be talking about Memorial Day, because there is no greater gift can give than to give his life for his or her friend. Right from the Bible, folks, and it's very, very powerful. So we need to honor our vets that are deceased, that were killed in combat, all of those, and that's what Memorial Day is for. We'll celebrate it next Monday, but we forget about it as we think about holidays and picnics and beginning of summer and going to the beach and all those kinds of things. We need to take a moment and remember those who gave their lives for us to keep us free, because it's extremely important. And with that, folks, we're basically done for tonight. I appreciate your tuning in. I hope you've been paying attention. This is the second night that I've talked about I-75. We did it Monday to recap the picnic, and we did it again tonight. And I think it's important. So remember those dates. If you're here in Alachua County, June 7th, there will be the open house over at the Best Western Gateway Grand. That's the name of it, the Gateway Grand, over on 39th Avenue on the north side of 39th Avenue, just west of I-75. The meeting is from 5:30 to 7:30, and you can go in and talk to people about it. And the most important thing is to fill out a question questionnaire, not a questionnaire, fill out your comment form, turn it in, let them know you don't want the purple swath, you don't want the green swath, you don't want any super highways. Let's work with the roads we have and make them as good as they can be and improve I-75, you know, work on 301. If we need a connector from I-75 to swing over and loop around onto 301, that will be a great option to include in that. But I don't think we need these swaths. I don't think that the amount of business, the amount of traffic warrants it. I think it's for another reason. I think it's purely for development. But that's just my opinion. But I appreciate the good mayor being with us. And then on the 24th of June, if you can do it and take a day off from work or whatever, go over to Williston. Easy to find, the big campground over there. Then they've got a facility where the meeting will be held, the task force. I-75 Task Force will meet there at 9 o'clock in the morning on June 24th. And that's the day that they should come up with what they propose to do. So you need to pay attention, folks. If you don't pay attention and you don't get involved, don't complain with what happens. That's pretty much the way it goes. So that's it for tonight. And since we're talking about highways and roadways, the song that I kind of use is a standard theme for these segments is from AC/DC. So we're going to close the show with it tonight, folks. And so when the music starts, that means I'm done. You can listen to the music or you can tune out, whatever you want to do. But I hope you have a great evening, folks. God bless you all. Be safe out there. Stay involved. Pay attention. Say what's on your mind about these roads. And hopefully you'll be listening in again with us soon. Maybe even tomorrow morning at 10 when we talk about ALEC, A-L-E-C. And that's it for tonight, folks. See you later. Bye now. Here's AC/DC with the Highway to Hell.